What kind of government tries to ban the Big Bang? And what kind of person becomes its enemy just by doing the math right? Feng Lizhi gets filed as China's Sakharov, astrophysicist, dissident, exile. But his life asks something stranger. Why do physicists, of all people, keep turning into the conscience of the regimes that fear them? The answer isn't the one you'd reach for. Start with the obvious. Feng Lizhi, a Chinese astrophysicist, vice president of a major university, the man whose ideas lit the student movements that led to Tiananmen. China's Sakharov, every obituary called him, a scientist who became a dissident. So far, so familiar. Except his first crime wasn't a speech. In 1972, Feng co-authored China's first paper on Big Bang cosmology, an expanding universe from a hot, dense origin. And that was heresy. Because party doctrine, straight from Engels and Lenin, held that space and time must be infinite, and Mao's whole logic of endless class struggle leaned on an endless universe. A cosmos with a beginning was subversive at the level of the equations. From 1973 until Mao died, the national press ran more than 30 articles attacking one astronomy paper. So how does a true believer end up here? He didn't start an enemy. In 1957, they expelled him from the party and shipped him to hard labor, partly over a letter questioning the Marxist line on physics. And confined during the Cultural Revolution, he got hold of a smuggled physics text and fell in love with relativity. He came to cosmology through the persecution. Then the equations grew a voice. In 1986, back from Princeton, Feng toured campuses preaching open in all directions, free press, free speech, separation of powers, and his lectures spread on bootleg cassette tapes. Democracy, he told students, can't be handed down from above, it has to be won from below. They fired him, expelled him a second time. After the 1989 crackdown, he and his wife hid in the US Embassy for 13 months before exile. He always insisted he was a teacher of principles, not the organizer they painted him as. And here's where you start to wonder if it's just him. It isn't. Sakharov built the Soviet H-bomb, then wrote the essay that made him a dissident, protected by the very bomb that made him untouchable. Yuri Orlov, a particle physicist, founded the group that became the template for the whole human rights monitoring movement. In 1978, 2,400 American scientists organized just to defend persecuted colleagues. The founder of Human Rights Watch said it flatly, the most important Soviet dissidents were scientists. So, does physics manufacture a conscience? Careful. The same prestige cut the other way. Nobel laureates Leonard and Stark used it to brand relativity Jewish physics and serve the Nazis. And Feng's own translator, the man who knew him best, says it wasn't the physics at all. It was the man. The humility, the childlike nerve to say, this is my home, I've done nothing wrong, why should I leave? Sakharov had the bomb for a shield. Feng had none, and dissented anyway. Here's what actually ties it together, and it's not scientists are brave. The recurring figure isn't the physicist who happens to care about rights. It's a particular kind of mind. One that sees a government the way it sees a physical system. A design, with invariance, with failure modes. To that mind, freedom isn't a moral preference, it's load-bearing infrastructure, the precondition for a society that can find truth and actually modernize. That's why Feng warned that without basic freedoms, the modernization itself would fail. He wasn't moralizing, he was reading the schematic. A regime once tried to legislate the shape of the universe and made an enemy of the man who simply measured it. Feng's warning that a rising economic power which violates human rights is a threat to peace wasn't a slogan. It was one more measurement. The real question isn't why physicists rebel. It's why the rest of us stop checking the math.